Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Our listener support campaign continues. You can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net through the Zelle app by sending a donation to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 159, 13, Boise, Idaho, 83715. And when you do, during our listener support campaign, we have additional thank you gifts. We'll send you full details or over at support.greatdetectives.net. Including a Yours Truly Johnny Dollar Anniversary T-shirt, which we'll happily send you with a donation of $100 or more. Full list of available thank you gifts are at support.greatdetectives.net. But now we also continue with our celebration of the 70th anniversary of Yours Truly Johnny Dollar. And now we turn to the Edmund O'Brien era. O'Brien had the second longest run as Johnny Dollar, holding down the role from 1950 to 1952. Prior to starring as Johnny Dollar, O'Brien had played an insurance investigator in the movie The Killers. After Yours Truly Johnny Dollar, he had a very successful career in film and television. He won the 1954 Best Supporting Actor Oscar and Best Supporting Actor Golden Globe for his role in The Barefoot Contessa, and the 1962 Best Supporting Actor Golden Globe for his role in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Now it's time for today's episode, which comes from October 14th of 1950, and the title is The Yankee Pride Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Edmund O'Brien as...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Carl Bush, Johnny.
Yeah, Carl, what's new?
We've currently got a marine insurance headache down here. I don't know if you're interested, but your commission would be fat. I called you because I had a feeling you know Singapore. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been there on a case, and it'll have to be a fat commission to get me back there.
The policy is for $300,000. It covers a cargo that's being delayed out there, a time clause.
What reason do you have so far?
Mechanical trouble on the ship. One breakdown after another.
Accidental, sabotage, or both?
That's what we want to learn. Come on down after lunch and talk it over.
Edmund O'Brien in another adventure of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Tri-State Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Yankee Pride matter. Expense account item one, $1.50, cab fare to your office.
Maritime insurance is a bad gamble at best, Dollar. Looks like we're on the short end of this one.
That I know about. I bet on Notre Dame last Saturday.
You aren't alone. This is a cargo of tin bound for a West Coast plant that's under government contract. Armament. Bearings, I think.
Oh. Well, that's where that time clause you mentioned fits, huh?
Right. They got a deadline, so they insured themselves. The way it stands, if that ship doesn't leave Singapore in a week, we start losing 2% a day on 300,000.
You have an office in Singapore?
Yes, but we haven't gotten any satisfaction from them. I don't know. That far away, you're out of touch.
What's your man's name?
Here, name's Ells, Vincent Ells. Here's the address.
Yeah. Well, I guess I can get the rest of the dope from him. I'll get out of here as soon as I can get space.
Good. Nice seeing you, Johnny. Let me know when your plane leaves. I'll send you a bouquet of bourbon or something.
Expense account item two, $1,280, airfare and incidental expenses between Hartford and Singapore. In the perverse way of ship and airlines, we arrived with one of Malaya's heavy, muggy dawns, coasting in over haze-hidden native villages, the island-studded harbor, and finally settling on the big field. I finished customs by 9, napped in my room at the Hotel Europe till 10, and I was in Tri-State's office by 1 p.m.
I'm happy to meet you, Mr. Dollar. Sit down. I trust you had a pleasant trip out.
Well, it's a little too long to be pleasant, Mr. Ells, but those airline people do everything they can.
Yes, you've been in the East before?
A few times. Now,
then you know that the unexpected is more or less commonplace here.
Say, what are you driving at?
It's possible that you've come on an extremely dangerous mission, sir.
Oh?
On the other hand, perhaps it's only coincidence. One of my adjusters has been killed.
He was working on this case?
Yes, I'm afraid he was.
What have you done about it?
I turned the matter over to the police.
Did you mention the situation, the delayed cargo?
I did, but I rather think that they categorized him as an individual rather than as an insurance adjuster.
Who was he?
A young Chinese, Ku Fo Soon, an intelligent chap. I discussed the matter with him the morning previous to his death. That was 2 days ago. He told me he was going to visit the ship in question, the Yankee Pride. The men on board said he never arrived.
You don't think his death was a coincidence, do you?
Instinctively, no, but it's true that death isn't rare in some quarters here.
So I've heard. Hey, did this boy of yours leave a family? Anyone I can talk to?
His parents were killed in the last unpleasantness, but there's a brother. They shared quarters.
I'd like to have the address.
Of course. It's in Ben Curran Street. Here you are. I won't bother directing you. Any rickshaw fellow will know where it is. But I believe he's employed by a Dutch concern. Wouldn't be at home till evening.
That'll work out. I want to go talk to the chief engineer of that ship first anyway.
Yes, I suppose you'll have to go. I only beg of you to proceed with great caution. The ship is down at the East Docks.
I'm in the sack. Come in.
Oh, sorry to bother you, Chief. What's the matter with you?
Blasted fever. Seems like this climate brings it back.
Malaria?
Yeah. What do you want aboard?
My name's Dollar. I was sent out here by the company that's insuring your cargo.
What about it?
Well, they're going to start losing money if this ship doesn't get started home in a few days.
Well, there's nothing they can do and nothing I can do. I have a bearing flown to me from Hong Kong. When that gets here, I can pump water into the boilers and not before.
What do you think about all this mechanical trouble you've been having?
What do you mean?
Well, has it all been legitimate, or could it have been sabotage?
Sabotage? Now, who'd do that?
I don't know.
Well, it hasn't been sabotage. Bearings go and generators foul up without any help. Ask me, I've been nursing them for 15 years.
When do you expect the stuff from Hong Kong?
It's hard to say. People don't work the same out here as they do in the States.
Well, I'll fly up there myself after your bearing if it'll get you out of here on time.
Look, mister, I'm not in any shape to figure out anything now. I'm sick. I'll try and talk to the captain about it. Come back tomorrow. Will you?
Sure, Chief. I know. That fever's rough. After dinner that night, I rickshawed towards the address of the dead Chinese adjuster. I crossed over the Singapore River, which winds through the city to separate the native and European quarters, and entered Ben Coolan Street. It was jammed with its people outside to take advantage of the breath of coolness that comes with night.
We're here, Tuan.
Good. Which door?
I point.
Good.
You go some other place, point. I wait.
All right, you wait. Are you Mr. Koo?
Who asked?
I'm an American. I want to talk to you about your brother.
I will not talk. Why do you come here?
I'm working for the company where your brother worked. I came all the way from America. Why won't you talk to me?
You speak the truth?
Yes, I have no reason to lie.
You come then. You heard in America about my brother?
No, but I'm here in Singapore to do the same job he was doing when he was killed. I wondered if there was some connection.
Connection?
Was he killed because of what he was doing or for some other reason?
I do not know. I did not know what he was doing.
Are you telling the truth?
Yes.
What are you afraid of? Why did you tell me you wouldn't talk about your brother?
I do not want to die.
Why would you die? Did someone tell you that you would if you talked about it?
Yes. I cannot tell anything because I know nothing. That he will not believe.
Who? Come on, you can trust me. I promise you I won't mention a word of this.
He who came here before the police. I told him that my brother and I speak of other things, not work. But he made promise that I die if I speak to police.
Who was this man? Did you know him?
No, I have never seen him.
Was he Oriental or Occidental?
English. He would do low work, I think. The work of frightening people for some other.
Yeah. And you're sure your brother didn't say anything about his work the night or day before he was killed, huh? Anything about a ship named the Yankee Pride?
Nothing. I have spent many hours remembering his last words to me. He spoke only of one new thing. A woman. With Fosun, there was always a new woman. With this one, he was filled with pride and excitement. She was Malayan. Perhaps she brought him death.
The man that threatened you, did he ask you about her?
He asked me everything that had been talked of, but I was frightened and did not mention her.
Do you know her name or where I can find her?
You will keep the secret?
I won't even mention that I've met you.
What will you say?
I'll lie about when I got here. I'll tell her I talked to your brother that night before he died.
Come on. Her name is Randi. There's a place of an Arab in Malabar Street. It is called Vili Paka. That is where he spoke of finding her.
All right. I'll see if I can.
Please. Of course, Kosun's death is a very heavy sorrow. But my death is in the future. Do not come back. To speak further of this would be to waste the future.
I won't come back, Mr. Koo. Thanks for the help you've given me.
Goodbye.
I wait one. You go other place now.
Yeah, I go other place. Malabar Street. Billy Parker. You know that?
I know, all right. Goodbye. Give me one.
I didn't bother to go back. The crowd surging around the door I'd come out was enough to tell me what had happened. The future that Mr. Koo had been so anxious to protect had just ceased to exist.
In just a moment, we'll return to the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Edmund O'Brien. But first, are you ready to sing it again tonight? You'll find a whole hour full of the day's popular music sung by Eugenie Baird, Alan Dale, Bob Howard, and the Riddlers. You'll hear the tuneful riddle songs that lead to Sing It Again's Phantom Voice Treasure Trove, $5,000 in cash and $10,000 more in wonder prizes. Be listening again to Sing It Again tonight when it comes your way on most of these same CBS stations. The Phantom's a puzzler, but some CBS listener will win that $5,000 in cash. And now with our star, Edmund O'Brien, we return you to the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
Well, at a premium in the native quarters of Singapore. I wanted to report what had happened to Vincent Ells and tell him where I was going and why. So I tried to find one, but couldn't. The joint called the Beely Parker was a mixture of nationalities, languages, and tobacco smoke. I spotted two Occidentals as I went in. They ignored me, so I ignored them and elbowed a place at the bar.
Hello, boss. What did you drink?
Any scotch?
Oh, yes, sir. Got good scotch.
No, I'll take one. Don't mix it. Yeah, I'm looking for a girl named Rondi. She here tonight?
Rondi? You go table. She serve you, boss. You pay her.
Right.
Rondi!
Rondi! You come quick!
I'm Randy. I brought a drink for me. Is all right?
I'm glad you did. Sit down.
Why did you ask for me?
Well, a friend told me about you.
You sound American, are you?
That's right.
I know some Americans.
Did one teach you to speak English? You speak very well.
No, they do not teach me that. I learned from missionary school in Penang. You are surprised?
I didn't know it showed.
Everybody is surprised that Randy went to school. Some American friend told you about me?
No, he was Chinese. His name was Ku Fo Soon.
Ku Fo Soon? He is no friend of mine. He's poor clerk. He told you about me?
A couple of afternoons ago. Said he was coming here to meet you.
He wanted to meet me, all right, but I did not want to meet him. He made fool of himself.
That would be easy.
What did he say about me?
Oh, that you were beautiful. That he was looking forward to seeing you.
He said that because he was lonely. I know about men. That's why you think of me tonight? Because you are lonely?
As a matter of fact, I am.
What is your name?
Dollar, Johnny Dollar.
You tease me.
I'll admit it has a ring to it.
No. I tease you. I know the name. In Penang, my father worked for a steamship line with that name. Are you in shipping business?
No relation. Shall we get rid of the scotch?
How do you say? Bottoms up. I think I like Kofosun better now.
What do you mean?
Because he told you about me. I get tired of these people. I like to talk to you.
Randy, you come work.
Oh, work. Will you wait for me?
Wait for you?
Only a little while. Then I stop work. You come to my house. We can talk some more. Please, you wait.
Randy, are you lying to me, or don't you really know that Ku Fo Soon is dead?
He is dead? I only knew him that one time. Not as well as I know you. How should I find out? And why should I lie to you?
Because the chances are that you're the last person to see him before he was killed.
How do you know that?
Because he was on his way to meet you and he never came back.
There are many places to go in Singapore.
Yeah, but it all keeps returning to you or that place. Husun's brother was shot right after he told me about you.
I did not know he had brother. Tell me. I do not want to talk to you like this.
I gave the name of the place to my rickshaw boy. Somebody overheard it. And the shooting took place right after we left. Why would somebody want to keep me away from you?
Nobody wants to keep you away from me. You are frightened?
Ah, that's past. If they wanted to kill me, they would have by now. Why did you bring me here?
I thought you understood. You are in trouble. Why don't you tell me? To listen to you, I would help you.
Forget it.
That would be better. I will help you forget, too. I'll make a drink. Pie. You like pie?
Sure, anything.
Do not think about your dead friends, John. You cannot help them now. You think of me.
What else?
Easy now. Easy. Sorry to interrupt. Hey, keep your pistol on him, Roy.
Right.
Well, I'll find out if he's got one.
He's not on.
Ah, well, you should know, dearie. Well, now, ain't you going to get up?
I don't see why I should.
Because we're going for a little drive, that's why you should. Are you coming like a gentleman or otherwise?
Boy, yeah? Oh!
What do you make of this? You go to sleep in a river shack? Yeah, now, careful now. Stay on your feet. And you wake up on the threshold of a blasted mansion. Here, give me your hand, Roy. He can't hold his feet yet.
Right.
You know, you're an important man, Dollar. But don't get big-headed. There's them that's more important. Major, here we are.
I'm in the library. Come along.
Right you are. Go on, straight ahead.
What on earth have you done to him?
he was quite violent, sir.
Here, help him to the chair. I'd hope this wouldn't happen, Mr. Dollar. Let me look at you.
Don't bother. You'll get a foot in the face if you get close enough. I promise you that.
Oh, I see. It's obvious that you fancy yourself a difficult man to deal with. But let me share a simple truth. You'll accomplish nothing here. Until I allow you to.
Those are strong words.
I have the power to support them. I know all about you, why you're here. My chief engineer will see that the Yankee pride does not move until I give the word.
And when will that be?
When I am ready to leave for Mexico.
You're crazy. That ship isn't going to Mexico.
Oh, yes it is, Mr. Dollar. Because I have paid well for passage there.
You don't buy ship's articles. The Yankee Pride says she's going to San Francisco.
One can buy anything with sufficient funds. The simplest are the petty official signatures needed to make these changes. You'd be amazed at how easily eyes are blinded and ears deafened. You don't agree with me?
Up to a point.
I understand. You think that I brought you here for the purpose of bargaining with you? There's no need for that.
Why am I here?
Because I enjoy my power. And at the moment, I'm fighting you and your stumbling, idiotic methods.
You're proud of your own? What kind of power did it take to bring off the murders of the Koo brothers? I'm not impressed.
You will be. I'm going to let you go on with your investigation because you're a harmless pipsqueak.
Thanks.
How much money will your company lose by further delay?
2% of $300,000 for each day over schedule.
Well, please convey to them my thanks. And tell them I shall cover their loss. They won't attempt to prosecute. You may go. Earl and Roy will drive you wherever you wish them to.
I retreated to my hotel room. But I knew one thing about him and thought I knew something else. His name, as spotted on an envelope on the way out, seemed to be Major Ralph Dixon, and I had a strong feeling that his weakness was his strength and vice versa. The man was power mad. In spite of my exhaustion, frustration didn't let me sleep too well through the rest of the night. Dollar.
Well, I'm glad you phoned. I worried about what might happen to you last night.
Well, don't think for a minute that it didn't happen. What do you know about a Major Ralph Dixon?
Ralph Dixon?
Yeah.
Why, nothing. Who is he?
Well, he boasts that he's the man behind our trouble. He's crazy, and I really mean that.
Oh?
He claims that he's bribed everybody concerned with the Yankee Pride sailing, including port officials.
Mr. Dollar, you sound serious.
I believe him. Look, you have better entree here than I have. Would you see that you can learn something about the ship's papers being changed to include a Mexican port?
Oh, there was no Mexican port, I know that.
Well, he says there is. And see what you can learn about his visas and passport. And you might even check customs. He's holding the sailing up for something.
I say, what are you going to be doing?
Well, I'll start at the other end. I know my way around the bottom.
could not run away, did I? I knew you would come back here.
You aren't afraid of me, but you will be. Right now, you're afraid of the Major, and I don't blame you. Two men were killed to keep you and the rest of us pawns afraid.
Yes, I'm afraid of him. Many people are.
You and one or two others are going to have to protect him by taking the blame for those two murders. You know that, don't you?
Said there would be no trouble.
That was before I came to town. I say there is going to be trouble. Because I'm going to turn you in. And the Major is so powerful that nobody will believe you when you tell the truth. You will pay for it all.
I believe that.
Well, don't you want to help yourself if you can?
Why? You know his power?
Not like you do, and I don't want to. I think he's crazy. And if I have to, I'll kill him.
What can I do?
Tell me what's behind it.
Gold. From an inland sultanate who is afraid of invasion. They send their gold out when they can. The Major is making the arrangements.
How much do you know?
I've only heard almost 100 million.
American standard?
Yes, American. It's been delayed in its journey here. What can you do against power like that, Johnny?
If we can get high enough, we'll break him. The man I'm working with on this is checking every official the Major claims to have paid off.
How do you know that?
What do you mean by that?
Well, speaking of Mr. Ayers?
That's right.
He is only a human being. He is as greedy as any of us. I do not think he's asking questions.
He's been bought, too, huh?
Yes.
You, the captain, the engineer, officials, elves.
You too, Johnny. If you were wise.
Did they tell you to say that?
It does not matter. Yes, they did. They told me to warn you.
I'm glad to hear that.
Why should you be glad?
Because it means he's afraid of me. What else were you supposed to tell me?
Only about Mr. Ells.
Yeah. Mr. Ells is as good a place to start as any. A check on the tri-state office told me that Ells had left for home, so I followed him there. It was a cottage set back from the street. No one answered my knock. Through the veranda window, I could see why. Vincent Ells was sprawled on the floor, a pistol just beyond his outstretched hand. On the way to Major Dixon's, I stopped at my hotel long enough to get an automatic out of my luggage.
What's the meaning of this?
I just left Vincent L's house.
Oh, yes. I've been advised that the poor man took his own life. Perhaps you can profit from his act.
I think I can. What happened? Did he turn on you?
Let us say that he didn't appreciate his position with me. He miscalculated my strength. Naturally learned there was nothing left for him to live for. How have you fared?
I've done all right. I've finally realized that there's only one way to stop you.
Oh? And what is that?
To kill you. Have you thought of that?
See here, I'm a man of influence. You'd not be rewarded, you'd be prosecuted.
I think you're a man of influence only in your own mind. Your influence is due partially to money, but more to fear. Ells turned on you and you killed him. The girl Rondi would if she weren't afraid.
Ah, but she is.
She wouldn't be if you were dead. I want you to come with me.
And where would we go?
Down to the police commissioner, where I want you to list every bribe and killing you've been involved in.
Ridiculous. I have an appointment at the club. You'll pardon me, I'm sure.
I know about the gold, Major.
Oh, you do, do you? What do you propose doing about it?
I'm going to stop it.
You?
Don't try to leave, Major. Major!
You fool!
stupid little fool.
I didn't kill him. As it turned out, I didn't have to. Police investigation of the shooting brought out all the truth. The gold was confiscated when it arrived, and after 3 days of questioning, I was released. Remarks? You may lose 2 days on the Yankee Pride schedule, but to balance that, you also lost Mr. Ells, an agent you can do without. Expense account item 4, $300, miscellaneous. Expense account item 5, same as item 2. Expense account total, $2,686. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, stars Edmund O'Brien in the title role and is written by Gil Dowd with music conducted by Alexander Courage. Edmund O'Brien may soon be seen in the Paramount Pictures production, Warpath. Featured in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Bob Sweeney, Tudor Owen, Bill Johnstone, Wally Mayer, Jack Crucian, and Ben Wright. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Jaime Del Valle. This is Bob Stevenson inviting you to join us next week at this time when we'll again bring you Edmund O'Brien as...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Their Saturday night fun with the younger married set when Lucille Ball and her favorite husband come along later this evening on most of these same Columbia stations. Now stay tuned for Vaughn Monroe's Caravan, which follows immediately on most of these same CBS stations. This is CBS, where Hopalong Cassidy rides every Saturday night on the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. O'Brien was really intense in this, but he also found himself in a really extreme situation, which made the extreme action seem a bit justified. This may have been the most serious, hard-boiled private detective show that was ever on the air. Many of the other private detective shows went to extremes, and the results were you ended up with something that was over the top, almost to a point of absurdity, such as Pat Novak for Hire, or The New Adventures of Michael Shane, or you end up with something where you have a character who's your lead who's not particularly likable because of the extremes they went to in making him hard-boiled, like That Strong Guy or That Ammer Guy. Or Man from Homicide. With Edmund O'Brien's take on Johnny Dollar, you're dealing with a character who is operating in a flawed world. A world with a lot of corruption and doing the best he can to try to overcome that and get his job done. Also, the music is strikingly different from what it was during the Russell era. You still have some elements of the original theme, but the tempo and the arrangement are different, which really does fit the overall mood of the series under Edmund O'Brien. Also, the guest cast in this is really strong. It's got many of the same actors who would really make such a big impact on the Bob Bailey era with their repeated guest appearances, including, of course, Virginia Gregg. Now we continue on with more of my interview with John Abbott, author of the Who Is Johnny Dollar Matter.
Now, Edmund O'Brien comes for the show, and he brings something, you know, really different. I mean, I think it's safe to say that he was the most hard-boiled of the Johnny Dollar actors.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And he carried that over from his movie roles, where he, you know, typically would play a heavy or, a bad guy sometimes, but he had the voice for it. He had the mannerisms for it. You know, what can you say about a guy who was raised in Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah, and he, he would be very tough. Even, you know, I think there was a real world-weary sense to his where, you know, he would, you know, have these, you know, even when he was in some of these more tense moments, there would be this sense of, wow, this is just a horrible situation and such a flawed world that we live in. With him even on some occasions mouthing off to the insurance company that hired him.
Oh, yeah. And he, you know, his classic line is, Johnny, are you working on a case? Yeah, Kentucky bonded.
Now, John Lund,
he was not afraid of having a drink of 5 or 10.
Oh, yeah. You definitely... You kind of have that sort of whole tough, brawling Irishman sort of vibe with the way that he plays the role, with also that sort of, you know, sadness as well that goes with that.
Both Russell and O'Brien, they wondered really why they were doing it, but they did it, nonetheless. And it seemed like the wolf was always at the door and they had to take whatever was thrown at them. But, they always leave out one interesting little factoid about all of these cases. He got paid a percentage of what he saved the insurance company.
Oh, yeah, sometimes that was substantial, though some cases he didn't save him anything and he just got his expense account, I guess.
Well, there typically, and I forget which story it was, he had a set fee. If I went out and I investigated a case and everything was on the up and up, well, I got my standard fee for that investigation. However, if I saved you a bazillion dollars, well, I got a percentage of that bazillion dollars. And they never really bring that out. And I think if they had done that, they probably would have ruined the entire underlying the underwriting theory of the whole program with the man with the action-packed expense account. And... it was left out probably for good cause.
The interview continues tomorrow. As a reminder, the Who is Johnny Dollar matter is available as a paperback or also in the Kindle store, and you can pick up a copy wherever fine books are sold. I'll be happy to send you a copy as well. With a donation of $125 or more, I'll send you either Volume 1 or Volume 2. Or for a donation of $240 or more, I'll send both volumes along. And the same thing goes for the Kindle book, with a donation of $50 for one volume or $100 for both volumes. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net or by sending a donation with the Zelle app to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net, or by mailing in your donation to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. Well, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow as we continue our look at each Johnny Dollar, and we'll be featuring John Lund. And then next Tuesday, we'll be back with another episode of Stand By for Crime. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.